Good morning. Wonderful to see everybody here in the Lord's house on Transfiguration Sunday, the day we remember that Christ's glory was revealed on top of the mountain, and his Father told us that it is his beloved Son with whom he is well pleased and that we are to listen to him. Of course, our Lord tells us that we should bring the little children to him and to the waters of holy baptism, and today we're overjoyed to see Josie Evelyn Ficus brought to her baptismal day, so I invite forward her family and sponsors as we bring her into the family of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And in the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises this: whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. The Apostle Peter also writes, baptism now saves you. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. So Casey and Jenny, I ask you, how is your child named? Josie Evelyn Ficus, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood, yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet you led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray, Lord, that you would behold Josie according to your boundless mercy and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam, and which she herself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant, Lord, that she would be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates. And in the Evangelical Lutheran Church, these sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those that they sponsor, and they are to pray for them and support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith and encourage them toward the eventual faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They're also at all times to be examples to them of a holy life, of faith in Christ, and in love for the neighbor. And so I ask you, Jonathan, Rachel, Jamie, Kristen, is it your desire and your intention to serve Josie as sponsors in the Christian faith? If so, say yes with the help of God. May God enable you to do this faithful and loving work by his grace. Amen. And members of our congregation, you've heard the promise of these baptismal sponsors to look after this child and sponsor her in the faith. I ask you, do you also promise to pray for this child, to support her by providing Christian instruction and nurture through the programs of this congregation, and to encourage her towards the eventual faithful reception of the Lord's Supper? Will you also be examples to this child of the holy life of faith in Christ and of love for the neighbor? If so, say yes with the help of God. May God enable you also to do this faithful and loving work by his grace. Amen. We bow our heads and pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Since Josie is not yet able to speak for herself, it's the responsibility of her parents to speak for her. So I ask you, Casey and Jenny, to answer the following questions on your daughter's behalf. Josie Evelyn Ficus, do you renounce the devil, all his works, and all his ways? If so, say, yes, I renounce them. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? If so, say, yes, I believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. If so, say, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. And do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? If so, say, yes, I believe. And finally, Josie Evelyn Ficus, do you desire to be baptized? If so, say, yes, I do. All right, little one. Josie Evelyn Ficus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, Josie, may the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you new birth of water and of the Spirit, and who has forgiven you of all your sins, strengthen you in his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ, and be ever watchful for his coming, so that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end.
In holy baptism, God the Father has made you a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our sister in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and that you've granted Josie new birth in holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly ask you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Josie, may God's peace be with you. Amen. Please join with me in welcoming Josie into the family of God. As you return to your seats this day, we have a certificate marking this occasion. You can blow out her baptismal candle and save it here and light it on her baptismal birthday every year. As they return to their seats, we'll turn in our hymnal to our opening hymn, which is going to be number 415.
Jesus on the
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue by reading our intro together. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 24. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain, and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone, with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is a selection of Psalm 2. We'll read it responsively by the whole verse. "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill." "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession." "Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth."
"Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling."
"Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him."
Our epistle reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
Please rise.
Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Kids, you can come up for a children's message today.
Jesus' name.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Today's the last Sunday after the Epiphany, the last Sunday in this church season, and on it we observe the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ. The transfiguration is that event when our Lord Jesus was completely transformed and changed in his appearance. His glory was made manifest on top of a mountain before he set his way with another mountain as his destination, the mountain upon which he would die. The transfiguration, therefore, serves as a fitting bridge between the season of Epiphany and the season of Lent. You see, it's the climax of the Epiphany season, the most clear manifestation of Jesus glory. And it sets the stage then for the season of Lent, as we know that Jesus is heading eventually to Jerusalem, to his cross, to suffer and die. Our text today is the Holy Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 17, but the events of the Transfiguration are recorded also for us in the Bible in Mark chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 9. And as we ponder the Transfiguration today, we are going to see that both the law and the prophets testify to Jesus. But first, we see the vision. We have to put ourselves in the place of the three that were up on top of the mountain with him. And if we put ourselves in their shoes, looking through their eyes, what do we see? If we placed ourselves on the mountain with Peter and James and John, we would see our teacher, Jesus. Although he doesn't look like what we would be used to. The appearance of his face has changed somehow. His face is now glorious and radiant with light. His clothes have become bright, bright perhaps as a flash of lightning, a dazzling white. The sight that we see through their eyes is something spectacular and awesome. We catch a glimpse here of Christ's glory, the glory of the Son of God, the glory that he had always had from eternity, yet which he veiled for a time and kept hidden during most of the days of his earthly ministry. We see our Lord transfigured on top of that mountain. But what else do we see up there on top of the mountain with him? We see with him Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah, two of the greatest figures in all of ancient Israel's past. Moses, of course, the deliverer out of Egypt, the lawgiver on Mount Sinai, the one who led the people all the way to the doorstep of the promised land. Moses, the great prophet of God. It even says in the scriptures that Moses was such a great prophet of God that he knew the Lord face to face. Moses left us with these words before the people entered the promised land. Moses told us what we should look for in the future. He said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him." And then next to Moses, we see Elijah. Elijah was the greatest prophet to ever have come after Moses, up until this point, of course. But now they're standing there, Moses and Elijah, together with one greater than either of them. And in the end of the reading, what we find on top of the mountain is this. We find Jesus alone. Jesus alone is the one that Peter and James and John see on top of the mountain at the end of the reading. You see, Moses and Elijah were up there for a time, but they served their purpose, just like they had served their purpose so many centuries ago in Israel's history. They were there to point ahead to the Christ who was to come. And now on top of that mountain, they testify as the law and the prophets once again that that Christ is here. And then they just gladly fade away from sight. They yield the spotlight to Jesus, the one for whom the spotlight was designed on that day. They were up there on that mountain to testify to him. But you see, before Moses and Elijah depart, there's a detail in the text that's very important. Moses and Elijah are having a conversation with Jesus. Matthew doesn't tell us what the substance of that conversation was. However, Luke's account does. It details for us what they're talking about. Luke tells us that Jesus and Moses and Elijah were speaking of Jesus' departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, the choice of word here, Jesus' departure, is a significant one because the word that stands behind it in Greek is the word exodus. You ever heard that word before? Exodus is where it comes from. It's the word that was used of the events that took place back in Moses' day. So Jesus speaks of a departure that he's about to have in terms of an exodus going to Jerusalem. Well, what does that mean for us today? Well, I think it means we should think back to the first exodus, shouldn't we? The one that was led by Moses. What was the situation there? The people were in slavery. They were in bondage in Egypt. They were under the oppressive hand of Pharaoh. They were trapped, and they had no possible way out. The people in that situation, as weak as they were unable to save themselves. That's a significant picture for you and I as well, because that is the picture of our life too, a life of slavery to sin, a life that without Christ is under the dominion of Satan. That's our condition. Our condition is a state of distress and death, a life of heavy burden and hard labor if Christ were not in our lives. But remember what God did for Israel. He sent them a deliverer, Moses. Moses led the people out of Israel, out of slavery. That was that first exodus, the departure. That was their way out. Now, the Lord told the Israelites at the exodus that they should offer up the Passover lamb by whose blood their homes would end up being spared death. And Moses then led the people out on their way to freedom and forward into the promised land. Now, you remember the story. Moses didn't quite get there into the promised land himself. He wasn't allowed to cross over the Jordan River into that land and lead the people in. That was a task that would be left to his successor. But you see, the real successor to Moses in the fullest sense, the true leader out of bondage and slavery into the real promised land, well, that, of course, is Jesus. The one transfigured and whom the light shines upon next to Moses on top of the mountain. Because it's meant to show us that Jesus leads us through the ultimate exodus. He brings us out of the hard labor of sin. Sin seems so often like it's an easy path to take, so tempting to us, but then we find as we've fallen into it deeper and deeper for it to be a hard bondage, a labor from which we know we need to escape, but out of which we feel we can't bring ourselves. That's why Jesus comes to bring us that ultimate exodus for God's people. And he does it through his crucifixion and his resurrection and his ascension. That's how he brings us out of this bondage to sin and death and leads us ultimately into that promised land of eternal life. Now, on top of the mountain, we see one other thing that comes into our vision. We see that a bright cloud appears that day on top of the mountain, and it envelops the mountain, and we find that that bright cloud is the glorious presence of God the Father. It's the same type of cloud that covered Mount Sinai, as we heard in our Old Testament lesson. It's a cloud from which, on top of the mountain, we hear God the Father's voice. You remember, God the Father's voice has spoken before in Jesus' ministry. It spoke at Jesus' baptism, and it speaks again, his voice, at the transfiguration, both times with these words: "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." But now you see, on this mountain, the Father adds one more thing to that declaration. He says, "Listen to him." Those words emphasize and underscore the mission of the Son. The Father's voice calls us to listen to the voice of the Son. He knows that we need so dearly to listen to Jesus. Listen to him. It's a call that we need to hear every day of our lives. We need an encouragement to listen to our Lord. You see, about a week earlier, Jesus had spoken some words that his disciples didn't really want to hear. he said this. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." Jesus talking about his fate as our suffering Messiah, one who would die, be executed. You know, that kind of thing doesn't sound good to our ears that don't want to hear it. His disciples didn't want to hear it, and we don't necessarily want to hear it either when Jesus speaks in terms like this. But nevertheless, God says, listen to him. He's the one I've chosen. This is the one who everything he says is true and absolutely necessary. You see, we have to listen to him and what he told us so many times in his ministry he came to do. He knew it was necessary that he would go to his cross to suffer and to die for you. There was no other way. It would take nothing less than the death of God's own Son to secure your forgiveness, to pay for your sins. It's something we could never do ourselves. We know that all our good works that we try to do to make up for our past wrongs, well, they're never enough to erase the dark record of our sins. Only Jesus can do that, and he does do that. All of our good intentions can't save us either from death. Only Jesus can. No one else. And that's why we need so much to listen to him above all others, because he is our only hope. He's the one and only Savior that God's provided for all people. Your life and your salvation, it depends entirely on this man, this God-man, our Savior Jesus. That's why the Father says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And as he says those words, all of a sudden, what Peter and James and John see on the top of the mountain is nothing else except Jesus alone. You see, the fact that Moses and Elijah disappear after that declaration is showing us that God the Father, by the vision he provides and the voice that he speaks, calls our attention to Jesus and him alone. The law and the prophets, of course, Moses and Elijah, they testify to Christ, but they give way to Christ in all of his glory. The scriptures say, "Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." And that's what those three saw on the top of the mountain that day. They saw the glorious Son of God. And I hope that you can see him too. See him today on the top of the mountain of transfiguration, but see him also as he comes down from that mountain to walk what will be his Lenten road of opposition and suffering and shame, a road that he willingly walks for you. See him as he walks all the way to the top of that other mountain to find his cross, there where he will purchase your redemption. And see him then finally, of course, risen from the dead as your living Lord. And then, after we've seen him, make sure that we always have our ears open to him too, because he's the one who speaks to us every day, lives of forgiveness, words of forgiveness in life. Listen to him when he says to you the things that he means for you to take completely to heart and live your life by. When he says your sins are forgiven to you, listen to him. When he says you have life today and eternal life forever in my name, listen to him. And yes, when he says follow me, listen to him too. You see, that vision and that voice that are given to us in the Transfiguration, they're all meant to have us cling even more closely to our Savior Jesus. As we enter into the next season of the church, this season of Lent, which starts this week on Ash Wednesday, we're going to have ample opportunity to do just that, to cling more tightly to Jesus. And after Ash Wednesday, of course, every following Wednesday up to Holy Week, we'll have additional midweek Lenten services here at 7 o'clock every Wednesday, a special opportunity that our eyes and our ears can take upon ourselves to focus even more on that vision and voice of our Lord. It should all be a season that will remind us that Jesus alone is the Savior we need. But we have to remember also that that message is not for our eyes and our ears only. There are so many people around us in our day-to-day life that need to see what we see in Christ and hear what we hear from his voice. So maybe this upcoming Lenten season can be a time that you would reach out to others. Invite your friends and your neighbors to join you in hearing what you hold so dear in this place. Have them join you here. Hear where all of the action is, where he gives you the forgiveness of sins and that peace in your heart that the world can't give, where these gifts of God are given out to you that can't come from anywhere else. Bring others so that they too can see with eyes of faith and hear with open ears the promises of our Lord. So today, as we pondered the transfiguration of Jesus, we saw him shining forth in his glory. We saw Moses and Elijah testifying to him, and we hear the voice of the Father, that clear voice that he tells us, "This is my beloved Son. This is my Son, about to go the way of the cross for each and every one of you, for your salvation. My Son, Jesus, the Savior of the world." He urges you to see Jesus alone. See that he's the only Savior that you need and listen to him. His voice is that living voice of the gospel. And he speaks to you today and always, forgiveness and life and peace just to you. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please rise. We join together in confessing our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you revealed your glory in the transfiguration of your Son who dwelt among us in the flesh. Open our eyes that by faith we would see him continuing to dwell among us. Grant that we would heed your admonition to listen to Christ as he forgives and preserves us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on this congregation. Moses was changed when he saw your glory on Mount Sinai, and may we who also see your glory in Christ be transformed and given the boldness of spirit to share your good news to others. And so that your gospel will go out into all the earth, we ask that you would empower and bless the efforts of all missionaries of your church, especially remembering before you Julie Oftob and the ministry of Abba's house. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus, witnessing that all the law and the prophets speak about him. We pray that in our day you would grant wisdom to all pastors and church workers to open your scriptures in a way that everyone would hear the voice of Jesus calling to them into a new life. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, bless the families of your church. Enable parents to teach the faith to their children, and that the forgiveness of sins would be shared in all households. Remember also all expectant mothers, that they and their children would be kept safe and healthy throughout the pregnancies. Lord, in your mercy. Father, you alone establish all authority on earth. We pray that you would bless those entrusted with earthly authority, both here and abroad, to serve with integrity and honor for the well-being of all. Grant that all division and conflict and strife would give way to unity, peace, and quietness. To that end, we ask that you would also bless our military to maintain peace, and we especially ask your blessing upon Christopher Brand, Caleb Burton, Warren Evans, Jake Haygood, Caleb Kyle, Dylan Robbins, Ryan Sprague, Byron Taylor, and Eric Vallejo. Lord, in your mercy. God of all comfort, you alone bring the peace that passes understanding to troubled hearts. We pray that you would remember those who are enduring any kinds of troubles and afflictions. We especially remember before you Katie Barker, Melinda Bennett, Courtney Burton, Erlen Carlson, James Carr, Ray Eppers, Charlene
Elaine Frankie, Myrtle Primal, Nellie Gonzalez, Evelyn Hoschke, Jennifer Harper, Larry Herzog, Mark Herzog, Dolores Karish, Morgan Ray Karish, Evelyn Casper, Delma Kieschnick, John Kashurik, Audrey Koenig, Teresa Krause, Mary Lehman, Rose Lehman, Kevin Markison, Diana Mitschke, Jeanette Mitschke, Blaine Patterson, Mary Patterson, Lillian Peach, Victoria Pope, Lane Strong, Marie Schultz, Raymond Schultz, Laverne Schultz, Wayne Smith Sr., Catherine Trevino, and Amy Wagner. Lord, help them to know that your presence is with them and help them have your peace. And we ask that you would also grant them healing according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, your power is beyond comparison, your glory beyond our understanding. Open our hearts to know you through the glory of your Son, whose saving will and purpose has rescued us from sin and death and has made us your own people by baptism and faith. For to you, blessed and eternal Father, belong all glory and honor, worship and praise, along with your beloved Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as today's offering is collected.
Please rise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Give thanks.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let you may be seated.